Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul. If it takes all night long, come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long, the evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. But I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long, come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long.
Mine says 12 o'clock and then mine says 3. Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long, come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long,
might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long, come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. Happy Friday, TGIF Friday, and amen to that. That's what I'm going to say. I hope everyone's had a great week so far, and I hope you all have a better weekend to follow. It's been an interesting, busy week. So before we get started, hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. What's going on? How be it?
Oh, you know, same old, you know how that is. we kicked off our golden leaves contest, competition, whatever words you want to use for it. It's let me see what I have here. First off, I'm going to put up the link to the contest itself, and this explains everything that we're gathering points for people with. Or however that sounded better in maybe another language. I don't know how I just said that, but I don't think it sounded well. it's all about the different aspects of how you can accumulate points, in air quotes, you know, leaves. And the one with the most leaves at the end wins. Top prize is 3 months of free gold. Second prize is 2 months of free gold. And third prize is 1 month of free gold. So anyone interested in participating, there's a list of everything you need to do. We have a couple topic boards that are going to come into play. One is contest by Late Night Poets members. Anyone who posts a contest between the date I marked off to the end of the competition, which I believe is either the 30th of September. Ooh, I think it's the 30th of September. The one who posts the most, everybody gets points for it. So the points accumulate accordingly, obviously. If you post 6-7 contests, you're going to get that many points. If you post one contest, you get that many points. I don't know what the values are off the top of my head, and I'm not going to read off of the list I posted. We also have another topic board that is for front page picks. Anyone who receives a front page pick in the month of September, we ask that you put your link up in this topic board, and that topic board will all be tallied at the end of the month, and there will be more points gathered from that. Anyone who calls into the show is just going to gather points. Anyone who submits a SoundCloud to the show is going to get points. You know, it's just all kinds of stuff. Anyone who posts anything on the reading list, now, granted, if you post 5 poems during the course of the month on the reading list, you're still earning credit for posting once. It's entirely up to you. If you want to keep rotating them out like you're used to, that's fine by me. I have no problem with that. To try and be diligent and read all the poems on the reading list, I want to find out that I would read one, and then that person would take it down and put up another one. So I was just like the dog in the middle of the ocean, you know, peddling. Dog paddling, you know, try to keep my head above water. But eventually I'm going to try and get through as many as I can. With that all being said, that's the gist of the story and all the good stuff. So it should all be fun. It'd be nice to see who wins. It's all about participation, you know, just like we always do. I mean, everybody tries to get involved every way they can. So it's all good. And that's enough of that silly stuff. What's up, Rex? Oh, my gosh. The phone lines are rolling. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, not much.
So tell me something.
You know, just...
Tell me something new.
Say something what?
Tell me something new.
Well, outside of painting, there isn't a whole lot that's new. Well, most of the kitchen and the breakfast nook done. Got most of it back together.
There you go. That's the hardest part, is getting it all back together again.
Yeah. Shit was everywhere. Amazing. God almighty.
Yeah, I believe that.
And it couldn't be light. It had to be heavy stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, those little projects, it's kind of like it's a big project getting everything ready to paint, and then it's a big project to paint it, and then it's another big project putting it all back where it belongs. So it's like, it just seems like it lasts forever, but at least in my book.
Yeah, and in between you vacuum, you sweep, damn it, now I have to mop the bloody floors as well just to make sure it matches everything else I'm doing.
Absolutely. Now I totally get that. Okay, let me see now. We have Miss Mindy with us. Hello, Mindy.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Mindy.
Hey.
I'm alive. Alive and kicking.
Yep, oh, Rex has got his exclamation points going there.
I could have said alive and kicking, but kicking not high. You know, so, anyway, you work it, it all works out.
Mindy brought some P&V with her.
Always. I keep it in my hip pocket.
There you go. Yeah, so...
I was going to say, a breakfast nook sounds nice. I could use one of those in the corner of my kitchen. That'd be great.
It is. I like the color. It's warm.
That'd be neat. So you built the whole thing?
Yes. I'd be doing it by myself.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, kids. Well, listen, we have a couple callers. First, we have Dan DeShina on the line. Hello, hello, Dan, and welcome aboard.
Hello,
people.
How are we?
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
So far, so good.
People and others. What's happening? Jesus, anyone else besides
some of
people?
Others.
It's true. Yeah, you never know.
Anyone's not a
hey, you know, radio waves go into the cosmos, so you never know who's listening, right?
Yeah, you never know who we might pick up. And if it can be done, we can do it here at LNP.
That's right. Hey, if they were, if, you know, if aliens are as smart as I think I am, I think they are, they'll be listening to this if they could.
There you go. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to have you here, Dan. Absolutely. And last but not least, we have Kel on the line. Hey, Kel, welcome aboard.
Hi, Gene, Rex, Dan, and Mindy.
Hello, Kel.
Hey, Kel.
Did I get everybody?
To have you. So far, so good. The night is still young now, so anything is possible.
That's right.
Absolutely. So, what did everybody get? So let me see now. I guess I yammered long enough, so I guess I better get started, huh? Before the boss comes.
Sure, why not? Let's bring the aliens in.
Yeah. Let me see. Okay. Miss Mindy, I think I'm going to have you kick things off tonight. There you go.
Life, civilization in decay. Life, civilization is in decay. Blown up egos, cosmic balance. The great mother breaks down our ego accumulations with its measure only equal to the power of grace. Transformation, striking paradoxical joke or trickery, mysteries and magic, fearlessness, flexibility, destiny, higher perspective. I should leave now, as I sit here helpless. Power to deal with challenges with grace. You master the art of being both, determined and gentle in your approach. Be vigilant. Move quickly. Gentleness is leaving you with such a heavy heart. Attention as you move facilitate connection to elemental realm energy, missing our connection to Mother Earth's healing energies. Animal spirit calling. Tell me what of the elemental realm energy of the dragonfly, expressing the essence of change, alchemy transforming the illusion of separation into the light of truth, harmony into all life. Isn't that something we're missing? Power to deal with challenges with grace. You master the art of being both. Determined and gentle in your approach. Be vigilant. Act swiftly. Gentleness. Damn it. You're only as young as you are old. Pay attention as you move. Facilitate a connection with the elemental realm. Energy. Drop the mask of fitting in just for the sake of belonging. Blaze your own trail. Your path is your own. Nobody else can walk it for you. Love and healing for every being is the ultimate universal goal. Of the whole. Until now, I've only heard the saddest song. End poem.
Great read, Mindy. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. This is fantastic. And Mindy, I don't know why I never noticed before what a fantastic speaking voice you have. I could listen to you talk all day. I appreciate
Thanks.
The way you read. You're welcome. I mean, this is just fantastic, you know, a love affair to Mother Earth, and I think it goes through all different ideas here. I really like kind of the conclusions that she comes with here of, you know, life, civilization, decay, blown up egos, cosmic balance. You know, she kind of talks about all of that, and then goes, you know, I should leave now as I sit here helpless, right? We all feel like that sometimes, that just the way everything's going on in the world, you know, what can we possibly do? And I really like missing, so it's the end sentences that really got me. So missing our connection to Mother Earth's healing energies, and I really think we do miss that a lot, and I think this whole poem really talks about that. And I'm just going to, we'll take everyone's fire away, but I just want to go to the end again. Until now, I've only heard the saddest songs. And, you know, that really struck me a lot, that, you know, and it gets me, you know, as I get older, I see more and more of the beauty in the world, but I also see more and more of the sadness. I keep both sides keep growing as I get older, and I understand the saddest of songs, because you can see everything with both sides. So I thought this was a really great kind of harmonious balance to a love affair with the earth, but then also kind of talking about all the damage and everything that we're doing to it as well. So very beautiful.
Great comment, Dan. Thank you very much. And Kel, how about you?
I thought it was very profound and philosophical. It starts, you know, with how we need to change and have a better perspective of what things are. And then it goes on, and it gets more of a positive nature, you know, to be yourself. And I like the energy, drop the mask of fitting in just for the sake of belonging, blaze your own trail. And I agree, Mindy, you did an awesome job reading this. Yeah, it's a very beautiful poem, and it's uplifting and it's spiritual. It's gorgeous. Well done.
Thank you very much, Kel. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, first I'd like to welcome Pam to the show. Hey, Pam, welcome aboard.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Rex.
Hey, Pam.
And everyone, good to hear you all.
Good to have you here. I thought this was a very, what did I say now? I know I said something good. I was trying to be good anyway. I thought it was a hard-hitting poem and an honest piece. I think that the points were well made all throughout. And, you know, it was a great job, Pam, as always. So thank you for sharing with us. Absolutely. So.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Mindy, you got to read it, and you did wonderfully at that. So how about your thoughts?
Mindy is a stunner, and when she turns up the power in her ink, well, what a powerful write. Ink on consciousness, she tweaked noses with natural response, innately being in concert with our own mother host, slipping into those rhythms of unified pulse, but each honoring her with our individual vibe. I love that. Part of a whole, but separate, each bringing our own gift to the table. And I think that that's a real treasure and a wonderful perspective to have, because everybody does have something special to contribute. Love the universal appeal and the entreat to each of us individually. Challenge issued, Pam. And I think she did a fantastic job of this piece. It's definitely a power rate.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mindy. All right, Pam, did you get to hear that? Or have you read it? Or both?
Unfortunately, neither yet, and so just catch me on the next round.
All right, cool. I'm going to go. I'm going to nibble at the edges. I was struck with this because she offers up a number of things, along with everything everybody else has hit on. She makes sure to balance her right here and her thoughts with the fact that she's deliberate in her offering, how she puts it out. Capitalizing cosmic balance, the great mother, then grace, transformation, fearlessness, flexibility, destiny, higher perspective, deliberately putting those as capitals just to show the point in those words and the approach. And that second one, a power to deal with challenges of the grace, you master the art of being both determined and gentle in your approach. Be vigilant, move quickly. Gentleness is leaving you with such a heavy heart. And you look at that and notice because that marries up with the back end of this, where she hits on the drop the mask of fitting in, stand up for the sake of who and what you are as an individual rather than following the crowd. Be all that you possibly can be, but the only way to do that is to stand firm in your convictions and that which you believe in, which is a careful balance of both the being strong as well as offering up that gentleness and grace. So never back down. Walk your head held firm and hold to your ideals and the truths that you see. And the saddest song that she hits on in the last one kind of hits me with that thought of we're getting way too much deliberate bad angles shown and thrown rather than anything good being shown these days. It's all negative. It's all demonizing. It's all destructive. There's no positive uptick coming from any level, whether it's from the music, to the radio, to the television, to the news. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything's negative. And I think that was the bottom end of that. Anyway, back to you, Phil.
Great comment.
I'll get there, but not yet. It's too early.
I know. You'll slip one in there eventually, and I'll be like, oh, yeah.
I will. I'll be sneaky.
The next one I'm going to put up is by Casey Day and Chinaski. It's a collaboration, and I have a SoundCloud for it. So here, if I figure something out, don't tell anybody. Okay, here we go. Ready, set, go.
I blink. Eyes sealed with insane spirits dancing on hillsides, staring into the dark.
Land flooded, infinite ebony, straight ahead. Wings pull horizon, whispered mockingbirds, rhythmic battle drum.
Liquid moons rise from ash, becoming dust silhouettes, seeds growing us.
Soil turn and harvest fruits, midnight mist, sultry mass of disguise into the unknown. In this desperate land, we gently bite candle flames, swaying engines of our maddening machine. American night, wispy secrets, unkempt hair, sweet sister serene, heated wax drip drop upon her porcelain skin.
Under infinite azure, through a small crackling sky, radiant paint washed onto our desert sun, hanging off purple mountains, watching day fall into unconsciousness. Existence billowing, twinned wrists, dripping blood into the chalice of our new religion.
Great read, Casey. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. We greatly appreciate that. And Pam, you get to lead it off.
All right. Well, I really liked the recording with the background music and the way they both read their parts. There's some just really intriguing and powerful imagery in here. I have to start from the bottom with the darkness of existence billowing twinned wrists dripping blood into the chalice of our new religion. It's it really hits you hard how dark that moment has become. I really like liquid moon rise from ash becoming dust silhouettes, seeds growing us, soil turning harvest fruit, midnight mist, sultry masks of disguise into the unknown in this desperate land. It really touches well on the fact of how circumstances, whether it's an inner turmoil or a turmoil and a confusion being set off in social and political circumstances that sends people to seek for answers. And sometimes they find those answers in religions or cults or groups that they that are created for the purpose of sucking people in. I think it's a powerful, emotive, dark rite and very well done.
Well said. Thank you very much, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
I think it's very deep in its spirituality. I love the two voices reading their different parts and the whole deal, duality of the whole piece. My phone is crackling. And it, to me, it's a little bit confusing. So we'll just continue on to our next commentator, please.
Thank you very much, Gal. All right, Mindy, what do you think?
Well, I think it paints well that male and female perception in a New Age Reformation spoken into being. Inspired poetic and vocal reaches for waking imagery that shakes sleepy states of stasis and lures with smooth delivery of lines that paint well. And this does paint well. It's a very visual piece, and it puts its images right before your mind's eye. There is a luring effect in the piece, though, too. Lulling, I would say more. Kind of invoked by their voices. There's an interesting mix there between Chinaski and Casey's. And she's got that soft feminine tone, but the tone that he's used is a little bit more subtle, but it's more more intentional. And in that I find kind of an interesting mix. Great job.
Nicely said, Mindy. Thank you. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I agree with Mindy. I got something out of the reading as well as the words. I think this is I try to read sometimes the statements before, so I didn't know if it was going to be a negative view, but I think this is very positive on this is how we should be. We should be, having the religious, attention to nature. So I really think that it is a just poetically and intensely describing, nature and all its beauty as almost like prayer-like. And so I really enjoyed that. And I did like the mix of the man and the woman talking. And it even gets into some sensuality, I think, in there too, because we are nature as well too, right? So that kind of a mix of a man and woman kind of, back and forth also brings that in. So we're just talking about kind of the New World Order and its union and the birth of religion. That's what I kind of got out of the whole thing. So, in other words, I blink, I seal with its insane spirits dancing on hillsides, staring into the dark. So just, how again, prayer-like and religious you can get just from being in nature. And again, just to say how she did it with the nature of humans and the intertwining of man and woman, the way they did it in the reading. I think this is really well thought out. I think I have a feeling they discussed this a lot and really put their heart and soul into it and mixed everything greatly. So really interesting. This is worthy of a front page pick, I actually think.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. And Gene, how about you? Are you mutating?
Oh, you wanted to hear me say it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it might be nice. Just for the general
report. Here we go again. Well, we know it's officially Friday now. I think this is a great piece, and as Mindy pointed out, I think the two voices work very well together. I found it really well written all the way through, but I thought there was a very powerful ending to this piece, and I think that said a lot. It's definitely, just kind of, if nothing else got you, the ending surely did, I got to say. But I thought it was well done, and
Nice work, guys. Thanks for sharing.
Great comments, everybody. You're right. This is, I got, this has a very much 1960s hippie feel to it.
Yes.
Right behind the thoughts. The spirits dancing, land flooded, the whispering, liquid moons, dust silhouettes, the fruits bearing. It has that nice feeling that was generated back then of hope walking forward. And the use of both the male and female voice in this was apropos because it hits on that note of yin and yang. You have to have both sides of that coin to walk into that arena to face it properly. Great job, you guys.
Nice.
All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, I've got the next piece. And Cal, I'm going to ask you to read this one for me. Okay,
Cal, you there? Uh-oh. Did we lose Cal?
Okay. I don't know. It shows she's still here, so I'm not exactly sure. Pam, can I get you to read that one for us, please?
Did you now say my name?
Yes, ma'am, I
did.
Yes.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm here.
This
I'm
is...
here. My fault. My thing isn't... It isn't... What? Reloading, whatever. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go ahead, Kel, and read this one.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. The Fairy Mirror by Martha Gettle. And it goes like this. Two little girls played in the attic one day. They were playing games in little girl ways. Dress up and make believe was on their mind when an old mirror they happened to find. The frame was wooden and it looked so old, like a million stories it could have told. They held the mirror, it heated in their hands. They saw there in its surface a magical land, a land of fairies, elves, and dragons too, of witches, spells, gnomes, and pools of goo. It pulled them in because they had just to see what other things inside the mirror be. Then the mirror, it began to grow more to the girls. It now began to show. Now in the mirror they could see a little girl. She looked as sweet as can be. She waved at them to come and play, wanted to join her, but how could they? The mirror, it seemed beckoned to them. It glowed as if to say, come on in. The little girl, she smiled at them so sweet. To play with her, they knew, would be a treat. They stepped forward together as if drawn, their resistance going and suddenly gone. The mirror opened, pulled them both in, till they stood on solid ground again. The little girl they could see was there too. Now play with her, they at last could do. As they stepped forward to say hello, her little face, it began to glow. Slowly her confidence began to change. Her body had shifted and rearranged. A green-faced witch was before them now. They had to escape the witch somehow. Suddenly a fairy they saw before their face. She said, quick, we have to leave this place. They followed the fairy fast as they could go. They had to get away from the witch aglow. The fairy waved a wand, and it got scary. Both of the girls, they turned into a fairy. So they followed her because they had to. They wanted to go home with all they knew. Misty said, Mindy, what will become of us? Maybe they will free us if we don't raise a fuss. The fairy, she was thinking quick as she could. She flew them to the queen deep in fairy woods. So they were there before the queen on their knees. They entreated with your, will you help us go home, please? The queen said, I will help you if you do your part. To go home again, you must be strong of heart. So the queen, she sent them to the lake shore. She said, you can do it send you home once more. After a long journey, they stood before the lake. They didn't know where to go, what path to take. Then a handsome man rose up from the water. I am Aiden now. Tell me what you're after. They said, please, we only want to go home. Our mommy must be feeling all alone. One thing I need before I send you there, I'll help you swim in the oyster bed so rare. Suddenly a tail on each girl began to grow, and in each mind they knew where to go. So they swam off for the oyster bed so rare, pearls they had to find when they got there. At the oyster bed, the shells were shut tight. The girls began to sing to them of their plight. One shell it opened up, a royal queen inside. She said, I can see that no evil in you hides, so I have decided to grant you a boon today, and I have some pearls you may take away. Two shells opened up so they could see the prettiest pearls inside that could ever be. So they took the pearls and swam to shore on the land. They were little girls once more. The queen said, I'll send you home again. Here I have a gift you give all to all our friends. You are both so kind, and you are so sweet. To have you here is our, in our world has been a treat. So she gave them a key, said, keep it close, and so with it back to fairyland, you can always go. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Mindy, since you set the stage as both little girl, fairy, mermaid, and back to little girl, you get first comment on this.
I'm sorry. I kind of got to love that. You know, maybe I'm just a bit partial, but, you know, when my daughter was little, they had those storybooks that you could get with your own child's name in them. And I remember how thrilled she was to see her name, you know, actually in the book as one of the characters. And I kind of got that same little bit of excitement here, even though I'm a big girl. But I thought this was a fabulous fairy tale, and she is one heck of a storyteller. I've read other pieces that she's written that are equally charming, and I think that it would be a lovely entry in a collection of the same. Hint, hint. I love this, and I think that she should absolutely get them together in one book cover, you know, underneath desk covers and sell that puppy.
Nicely said. I'd go a step further. If she found somebody who could do pictures for her, make a single picture book story for the little girl.
Oh, would that be pretty? That'd be really neat.
That would be,
yeah.
With a poetic note to it, would be a perfect little child's book to read and have fun with.
It would.
Nicely said, Mindy. Thank you. Kel, how about you? What'd you think?
I really, really love this piece. It's got a wonderful story, and it's the rhythm and rhyme in it is absolutely perfect. It reminds me of, I can't think of the name of it. This program or movie with the boy and the family, the kids in a family that go through a closet and end up in a different land. I cannot think of the name of it for the life of me. But,
you mean The
yeah.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
But there was another one.
Well, yeah, he has three books that he made, but I don't know if he made that one.
Narnia.
Yeah,
Narnia.
The Narnia ones, yeah.
Narnia. That is it, Narnia. But, yeah, very, very fantastic writing. It's just flows so rich and smooth and excellent. It's like you said, it's a perfect little, it would be perfect for a kid's book. Really. They would love that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kel. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I really love this. I mean, I just defy anybody to find a children's book that's, you know, that's published that is better than this. And I agree with Mindy again. Seems to be my thing tonight, agreeing with Mindy. She's making great comments tonight. This is just a fantastic story. And I was thinking of the Narnia books when it first came on, but it's not. This is completely original. Just a beautiful, fun fairy tale. story that she made, and you know, those can be definitely hard to do to be compelling, and you know, just be a nice story, and those are my favorite types of stories. I mean, I personally write very deep kind of, you know, writes when I write, but my favorite stories to read by far are not that, are just stories that take you places that kind of, you know, that just capture you and bring you there into that fantasy world. You can picture everything. And that's exactly what this, you know, what this did. So I really enjoy, I mean, she really is a great writer. Martha, I've, you know, her poems have stuck out to me every time that I've heard them. So she really does have just a great style about her. I enjoyed it a
Excellent.
Lot.
Thank you very much, Dan. Jean, how about you?
I think this is a great show, Bold. Right, let me try this. Oh, I am not on mute. Yay! I think that Martha did a great job with this. It was a long piece, but it was very detailed, and the imagery was great. And I think it was just a wonderful story told and shared with everyone. So thank you, Martha, for that. And I know that, Mindy, I guess this was for your Art Nouveau contest, correct?
Oh, was
for
it? Oh, my gosh, I didn't even know. I was so taken with the story, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, but I'm looking at the fairy mirror.
Fairy mirror, yes, it is. Yeah. Absolutely perfect. Yep. Great job.
Very clever. Yeah, nice piece, Martha, and thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What did you think?
Well, I really enjoyed this. It had great rhyme and flow. I did feel, however, though, that the Wicked Witch should have been named Pam and the Queen should have been named Jean. But, you know, that's just a suggestion for next time.
Oh, there you go.
But this was great storytelling, wonderful rhyme and flow. I knew as soon as you get that sweet-looking little girl in the mirror that there was something going on. But what I really like about this is, like most fairy tales, things aren't just handed over for free. There's a moral lesson that the help comes to those who are willing to step out and be part of the process. Of being helped. They didn't just have to stand there and be sent back home. They had to prove themselves, that they had to prove the goodness of their hearts. And so I really like that she put that in there. I think it's just absolutely wonderful and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Let's see. I'm going a little out of order tonight because I don't have very many male pieces. I don't have SoundCloud. So, Dan, I'm going to ask you to read this next one for us, please, if you don't mind. And Rex, I'll be right with you.
Sure. This is called The Monolith of Light. Discovery. A call from the setting sun in the twilight of dancing silhouettes. I see the colors fade to black and they speak to me. A rainbow scent from a star, splattered across the world. And then I listen. Colors speak, only to shadow reality. I am a trick of the light, for I am not. All things exist in the dark, except me. How can something exist only in the light? I reach out to touch the colors, but it's just a reflection. I can't touch a reflection, no more than I can touch what's inside a mirror. What is reflected but the sun itself? I listen to the message delivered on beams of light. Oh, what wondrous guide is illumination. Direction. A beacon through the murky water's depth, to behold the grand emergence of the first step, to breathe, to walk, to view the heavens. A glorious sunrise through the distant trees, call to leap from the protective branches, stand tall, the first step towards the distant lands. The tools of contemplation await, just reach and grasp. I am awake, I am aware, I am conscious energy. I am ready to see the colors of the world, a reflection of your glory calling me, speaking me to the next great step on the journey, to reflect upon the world, to explore artistry, to discover. I hear the message, I reflect. What great step will the sunlight bring next? End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to kick it off. What did you think?
Oh, I really like this. I see that it has a one gold and definitely very well deserved. I really like how this takes us through the thinking of process of someone who comes to get up to something that doesn't fit until to the realm of normal and instantly brings forth the question, how can something exist only in the light? You know, and then the idea of the curiosity, the search for knowledge. And I like the imagery, a beacon through the murky water depths to behold the grand emergence of the first step, to breathe, to walk, to view the heavens. There's something very, I've never been on a peyote trip, but it just seems like in that stand would be like what a peyote trip would be like. Sorry, Dan. I like the repetitiveness of I am, as almost as if it's a mantra of convincing yourself that all that is happening, or the character's mantra of convincing themselves that all that is happening is real. This is just such a wonderful spiritual rite of discovery and of realms beyond our limitations. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you.
Okay, Dan. Thank you very much. And Cal, how about you?
Oh, this is absolutely a very beautiful and compelling piece of writing. I love the excerpt, discovery and direction, and yeah, you know, the explanation of how you can't actually touch the colors, and why not? You should be able to touch them, right? But you can't. You know, it's just not possible. They're like going through a prism, and you can't touch them. But they're so beautiful that you want to. And this is absolutely beautiful. I am awake, I am aware, I am conscious energy. I am ready to see the colors of the world. Oh, just fantastic, Dan.
Thank you.
Nicely said, Cal. And Mindy, how about you?
Well, I've got a little bit more work on your comment, but I will begin with this. Awareness in that shake of waking and the initial piece is that first sort of sense of self-examination and reflection and process, the realization and declaration possible sunrise to sun's barren bake. And it does. It sees and peers into us, heats us, and in return we open to it. Lights reach into us as we seek out in the becoming. That receptive openness was wonderful, and I love that portion of this piece because it does speak to the opening to the world even. The first step towards the distant lands, the tools of contemplation await, just reach and grasp. There is a necessary action called to us. We have to do something. We can't just stand there and expect it to come to us. We have to reach for it. I am awake. I am aware. First two steps. I'm conscious energy. I'm ready to see the colors of the world, a reflection of glory calling me. That next step on the journey, and that's what we're all here for, is that journey. I love this piece. It's a piece of evolution. It's a piece of discovery, and it's a piece of a common shared journey that we're all on that is uniquely yours.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm glad you got the evolution references there.
Great comment, Mindy.
Makes me happy.
Jean, how about you?
Well, Dan, I think this was excellent. I loved your lead-in stanza. I think that I did it twice in a row. Your lead-in stanza was perfect. It just took us by the hand and walked us through this journey that you penned here, and what a great job it was. And then again, your ending stanza, wow, that was great. I kind of penned in here myself, spiritual revelation. You know, it's like just this turning point, you know, where all the rest of it just comes into sight and mind. And I love the way that ended. And it's well done, to say the least. I mean, excellent work. So glad you shared it with us.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Gene. Mm-hmm. Hi, Dan. I think Pam and Mindy hit on two notes of that, evolution from Mindy and the peyote thought from Pam. She didn't understand what she meant by that, but I do. There's that note to a third eye awareness, that birth coming out of the thought of where one was to where one wants to be, and crossing that channel, moving over that thought, going from, say, a dull thought to color into the clarity where the speed of light hits you with all those emotions of the fact that now I can see clearly enough to, as Mindy hit on it, evolve onto that next thought of what we are supposed to be, the transformational note of actually being exposed to that which we see but don't ever notice. And then we can actually look deeply within those colors itself, be part of that that glorious network, which springboards us to the next thought, the next idea, the next possibility. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way. You're welcome, Ben.
Let's see what I have here. Rex, I have this one for you, and this is another piece by Pam.
Okay, okay.
And if you don't mind.
You put it up already? Ah, there it is.
Not there.
Do not let yourself be contained by panic. Sometimes I feel the universe is there to meet me, connect, manifest my inner self, shining it brightly for all to see. Don't be afraid, for she's my constant companion, and her advice to me is, do not let yourself be contained. There's nobody else like you anywhere. The gift is within you, waiting to be discovered. Open and share it with the world. Don't follow crowds just for the sake of belonging. Each path is unique. Make it your own. Life is old and worn there. Make clear, unequivocal decisions. Only in this way, the lost balance is restored. Be open to succeeding. It is a gift to accept thankfully and humbly. Real success only comes once you have learned to serve the whole. So we turn back towards the grand hotel of our self-centeredness, not paying attention to what situations in life throw us off balance, struggling to find the conditions in which to find harmony again, to carry these qualities within us always as we move gracefully through our days, letting our stars rise while staying in a close contact with the earth, trusting our environment. Becoming vulnerable to loving, you will be remembered by the fruits you bear. You have all you need. Another boring romantic, that's me. But do not let yourself be contained. For she's my companion, the universal mother. I hear her voice in the morning hours. All right, Mindy, let's start with you, please.
And I'm sorry, I was still doing it. I need to have a minute here.
I'll come back around to you.
Thank you.
Kel, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. This was absolutely very, very self-enlightening and powerful. You know, just let yourself be. It's wonderful. And it's just too bad that, you know, we let ourselves turn inward and we don't really expand as much as we could. And it's, you know, don't let yourself be contained. You know, that's just the way it is. You shouldn't. You know, you should let yourself go, let yourself be out there and discover and learn and be a part of everything. And this is just absolutely a beautiful piece.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kel. And Dan, how about you?
I enjoyed this very much. I actually need to start reading more of Pam's poems. I really enjoyed both of hers tonight, and I think there's great there's a lot going on here, but I think there's great really kind of hidden, you know, not hidden, but inner messages here. Like I really like the whole feel of sometimes I feel the universe there to meet me, connect, manifest myself, but then don't let yourself be contained. It's almost like I can see her kind of, you know, sitting back a little bit almost at night or something and you know, relaxing, and then all of a sudden she kind of feels the universe, and you get, you know, you feel, you know, that you want to kind of let loose. You know, I've done that before where you're outside at night or something, you finally have that peace in you, and you feel like you were contained, you were stuck in your life, and now you want to kind of move out and move on. And I like that, you know, there's nobody else like you anywhere. The gift within you is waiting to be discovered. I mean, every line in here is very thought-provoking. And then, you know, I really, really enjoyed I Hear Her Voice in the Morning Hours. You know, I've thought about that a lot, too. In those early morning hours when you wake up before your mind kind of realizes everything that's going on, right? When you first kind of wake up in that morning, you have that kind of sort of peace, and you can hear, you know, I think what she's saying, the universal mother, you can hear the world, everything kind of, you know, maybe speaking to you before the chaos of life takes over. So yeah, every line in here I really think has a great great meaning, and I think it's harmonized together with the way she kind of brought it together. So, but yeah, that last line I really enjoyed. I think it brought a lot of peace to and balance to it. I also wanted to say about the Grand Hotel. I don't know if she was mentioning that great movie back from the early, either late 20s or 30s when that came out. But I can see the reference to that too. So I enjoyed that as a cinephile myself, if that's what she was referencing.
Nice. Thank you very much, Dan. And
yes,
Pam, how about you?
I really like this one. It's beautiful. It's heartfelt. I like how it's a moment of her taking time to listen to what the universe has to say. And I like that she puts in here the in quotation marks, the words, the advice, the universe, the mother speaks to her. I did like the reference to the Grand Hotel of self-centeredness, not paying attention to what situations life throw us off balance. And reminds us that if we keep our rooms, our metaphorical rooms, filled with that kind of garbage, it does throw us off balance. And I really like that message of do not let yourself be contained. And the end line, as Danny mentioned, the morning hours. I do think it's not the same hours for everybody. I do think there's certain reasons why some people are more morning people and some people are more night people. It's because those are the times when we are most receptive to hearing those messages, when we are most receptive to writing our best poetry. You know, I just feel like there's those kind of moments that are just your golden time for receiving and thinking and just feeling at peace. And this is a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Jean, how about you?
I think this is a beautifully written piece. There was great reminders throughout. You know, I thought it was really excellent. You know, I pulled this one out of quite a few. There's nobody else like you anywhere. The gift is within you waiting to be discovered. Open and share it with the world. Don't follow crowds just for the sake of belonging. Each path is unique. Make it your own. It's just one section, you know, out of many, but they were all very well done. And, you know, there's a lot of truth in there. And, you know, it doesn't, the reminders, they're subtle reminders for everyone. You know, to pay attention. It's about you and your being, you know, what you need to think about and make a conscious effort on your own. I mean, they're just reminders. There's no path that's ever had a great map attached to it. We all have to figure it out. And I think she did a great job, as always. Nice work, Pam. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. Mindy, coming back to you.
Okay. You know, I might have been the only one, but I hear her voice in the morning hour. She calls me. I mean, this great wink to John Denver and his love of the environment and that plugged-in vibe that he imbued in his music. More than being open in this piece or receptive is that sense of failure and not sharing innate gifts that we're blessed with. The world needs all of our gifts, and in fullest offering, we shortchange ourselves and not giving them and the universe and not tapping into that bounty for sharing. If we do not use them, we lose them, and that is a simple truth. Beautiful right there, and I love this one.
Great comments, gang. Picture, and I think that holds a perfect thought to what's going on here. As the river flows, let that river flow through you. Whether it's an environmental, whether it's looking at the stars, whatever the sound is that's offered, breathe it in. I'm sitting right here right now, and I can hear everything that's going on in the yard, all the bugs that are alive, the frogs. I just had my first barred owl call, and they'll be chattering all night long. It's the music of that which you take for granted, because most of the time we sleep through it. But the idea, if you get out there and really listen, the world speaks quite wonderfully at night. When even the thought of cars going back and forth, that kind of sits in the background because everything else is so alive in the moment. And that's what I got from this. All right. Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Miss Mindy, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Absolutely. And
awesome.
There it is. Okay. This one's by Neutron Bomb, and it's entitled Embers. An opalescent dragonfly hovering in the periphery of my hazed vision, glinting like embers in the twilight of dusk, bathed in the last rays of the sun, the warmth of my ancestors penetrated rickety bones, the ocean waves ever creeping, hugging the shoreline as high tide approached, whispering defied deliverances in the sand with driftwood, a paper daisy daring to grow toward the sun. End poem.
Great read, Mindy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off with a thought?
Oh, I really like this. As always, you have got beautiful and strong imagery. This just has such a relaxing feel to it, the idea of watching nature. And I really like rays of the sun, the warmth of my ancestors penetrated rickety bones. The idea of just the kind of the healing that comes from the warmth of the sun and the ocean waves ever creeping, hugging the shoreline as high tide approach, whispering defied deliverances in the sand with driftwood. The whole thing is just an absolutely beautiful brevity, but, you know, I think the ending lines really just are the strongest. That's a paper daisy daring to grow toward the sun, because I think that makes for a wonderful metaphor for the idea of someone who may be perceived as being physically weak, but has that inner spirit that gives them that strength to dare do what other people don't believe that they can. I think it's an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Cal, how about you?
Oh, it was very visual, and the images are fantastic. The ocean waves ever creeping, hugging the shoreline as high tide approached, whispering defied deliverances in the sand with driftwood, a paper daisy daring to grow toward the sun. All of this fantastic. Opalescent dragonfly. Wow. Very beautiful imagery.
Thank you very much, Dekel. And Dan, how about you?
I agree. I think that the imagery was very, very beautiful, and he said a lot with a few words, which is always great and always impressive. You know, I'm kind of getting. I really always take the titles into play, and that's the title. You know, they're important to me, and I really think that the, you know, embers I'm getting here of the opalescent dragonfly in my hazed vision, glintering like embers in the twilight dusk, bathed in the last rays of the sun. You know, I almost take it as kind of renewal, as the embers being just everything kind of renewing, you know, where he's talking about kind of this one, you know, the dragonfly here, and that eventually will turn into will disappear and shade into embers, and then turning into this, you know, paper daisy, something very embryonic, that will then kind of grow again towards the sun, just to be kind of birthed again and turned to embers and come back again. So that's kind of how I got out of this, but just the way he said it, it is so, for lack of a better word, poetic, and so kind of deep and image with so much imagery, that this is really amazing. I think very, very beautifully and thought provoking. So very nice job, Neutron.
Excellent thoughts there, Dan.
Which did I say her? Him? It's a her. A neutron bomb is a girl, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Sorry, I said her. I said him. I meant her. Sorry about that.
And Mindy, how about you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I grabbed this last line that I'm making a quote on her piece, and it's pure magic. The ocean waves ever creeping, hugging the shoreline as high tide approached, whispering deified deliverances in the sand with driftwood. What a wonderful phrase, whispering deified deliverances in the sand with driftwood. The ocean does have that sort of cleansing, culling property, and a wonderful lull and relaxation. This is just a beautiful capture of that magic that's created in that. The whole dragonfly aspect is magical as well. Gotta love the tribute to the ethereal dragonfly prompt. Vibrant and otherworldly nature delights such an impossible creature, delicate and dynamic at the same time. And they do carry those last rays of sun into the setting. And I think that's magic, pure magic, and she captured that here.
Nice, Mindy. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was a beautiful piece, and I have to, you know, agree with everyone. There's so many great pieces to it, and it's only a brevity, and there's so much to be said about it. But I said it was beautiful work, and I thought the imagery was lovely all the way through. I loved her lead-in three sentences, you know, an opalescent dragonfly hovering the periphery of my hazed vision. Like, you know, that just makes you want more. You want to know more. You want to see where this is going to go. And I think that it really was great. And the lines that Mindy just quoted, absolutely, you know, takes you right down to the end. But it was great all the way through, definitely. So excellent work, Neutron. And thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the draw on this from off of that picture is gorgeous. Just hit on quite a bit. There's two things that kind of hit me. That middle section, the warmth of my ancestors penetrated rickety bones, and a paper daisy daring to grow towards the sun. There's that kind of note of honoring up those who came before you, and with that thought, with the whispering deified deliverances in the sand with driftwood, kind of offers up that tone of paying homage and honoring those who came before, and the paper daisy daring to grow toward the sun is kind of that thought of walking in their shoes, not walking in their shoes, but honoring those shoes they walked in by standing up and honoring them as a total, giving them I can't think of the proper words for it, an homage, so to speak. All right, Jean, coming back your way.
Okay. Cal, I have one here for you. If you're
all right, I actually got it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Succubus of the Sky by Casey Day. Oh, what a pretty picture. She is the sun, liquid, dripping golden ink onto eager lips, begging for summer. Honey, her hips give life, sway to the rhythm of war drums, singing, come get me, before, beware the succubus of the sky, or, like Icarus, burn alive. And boom.
Great retail. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
No, I think this is great. This is Alphonse Mucha print, unless I'm mistaken. And you know, he has a lot of sensuality to his work. He really does, and a lot of realism, but fantasy. And I think she captured the picture really beautifully. Just kind of taking the colors that are on the painting and kind of seeing the sun in there and seeing the sensuality that's in there and bringing it to life. So I think it's a really beautiful description of the picture, and I love the succubus of the sky, or like Icarus, don't go too close so you could be burned alive. So I really like that as well too. So great job, Casey. I enjoyed it a lot.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Pam?
I really like this. It's a wonderful brevity with great use of mythology. It kind of reminds me of, Athena or which goddess? One of the goddesses is both the goddess of both war and love. And it has that feel to it, to where, as Dan had mentioned, there's a sensuality to it. But then where it says, her hips give life, they sway to the rhythm of war drums. There's such a duality in the movement of her hips, and in that it welcomes both, produces life and welcomes war. I just think it's an excellent write all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I got to the end and I wanted more. I was just looking for more. This is just so, I can't find my words. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Summer honey, her hips give life, they sway to the rhythm of war drums singing, come get me. It's just a really powerful piece. And I really loved it. The imagery and everything goes so well with the prompt. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you, Kel. And Mindy, how about you?
I think Mindy had to step away next. She dropped
it. Well, that comes to you then, Jean.
Okay. I think that this was a very nicely penned brevity. I think it was a beautiful reflection of the chosen prompt, and I really did enjoy it very much. So great job, Casey.
Oh, absolutely it is. It does have a great sensual tone to it. And that thought with the last two lines, beware the succubus of the sky, or like Icarus, burn alive. There is that note of temptation within there. Also, hey, if you don't burn alive, you come back with a nice even tan, especially spending time with the succubus of the sky, such as she is. Nicely done, Casey. All right, Jean, coming back to you.
Okay, so Miss Pam, can I get you to read the next one, honey?
Absolutely.
Okie doke. There we go.
All right. This is Little Thing, and this is Stranger in the Glass by The Nothingness, and it goes like this. Who is the stranger in the glass staring back at me? I try to look around her, hoping she won't see. Eventually our eyes meet, and I try to give a smile. She smiles back so faintly, as if it's been a while. It's hard to miss the passion, a storm of love, and yet I can also see her sadness like a well of deep regret. I see it painted in her face, not in circles but in lines. It's in the edges of her lips and the corners of her eyes. I wish I didn't know this girl as I began to dim the light, and like a stranger to this life, I kiss the dark goodnight. End poem.
Bravely, Pam, thank you very much. And Gene, why don't we go with you for an opener?
Well, I enjoyed this piece. It was way different than everything else that we've read so far tonight. And I liked it because, you know, it gave us a little bit of something different to chew on. Well done. Well, you know, it's kind of the word I want. It was written very well. You know, I wish I didn't know this girl as I begin to dim the light. I'm like a stranger to this life, I kiss the dark goodnight. You know, it kind of has that that dismay at the end, you know. I'm trying to catch up a little bit because I was looking for a poem in the beginning. But it's hard to miss the passion, a storm of love, and yet I can also see her set like a well of deep regret. Because it has that melancholy note that runs through it. And it was, you know, it was very well written. I like the rhyme and the flow of it. And Pam, you know, did a great job when she read it, bringing that out. So, yeah, it was an excellent piece. And thank you, The Nothingness. New name to me. So,
thank you, Jean. Nicely said. Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, I like seeing new names. It's very cool. I like that her name actually makes me think of the movie, the Neverending Story. I thought that was also cool. The on a technical level, the poem has wonderful, just spot on rhyme and flow. And I like that this is about, it seems to be about depression, but and more like about the whole idea of becoming a person that you no longer recognize, that stranger in the mirror, that self that just you don't feel belongs actually to you. And the kind of just the almost sense of resigning yourself to the futility of it all. It's an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Oh, she said, Pam, thank you. And Dan, how about you? What do you think?
I really liked it, and I agree with. I love her name, The Nothingness. That's one of my favorite names on here. And this poem actually was a little humbling to me because I'm a little bit in awe by it. I just think it's such a, you know, we've all probably either written or thought about poems in the about looking in a mirror, and I honestly haven't seen a take like this before, to me. So I'm very very taken by this one, and I really like just every stanza is very striking to me. So who's the stranger in the glass staring back at me? I try to look around her, hoping she won't see. I just absolutely love that one that you know you look in the mirror and you try to kind of look beyond that and try to look around and not necessarily even look at yourself. You're trying to see what you want to see as opposed to what you actually are, right? And we all kind of do that sometimes, look in the mirror and say, you know, who is this person? Like, how did I become this? You know, wasn't I something else before? And you know, why am I me? You know, so many things can go through your mind when you look in the mirror. So I really love that. you know, I wish I did not know this girl as I begin to dim the light, and like a stranger to this life, I kiss the dark goodnight. So the I also agree, the rhyming and the flow of this was very, very beautiful. That's a hard thing to do. And it's depression, but I think it's almost more like, you know, not wanting to age and not wanting to necessarily grow into who you grow in. You know, it's easy to kind of think of whatever you want yourself, but then you actually look in a mirror and really study yourself and you realize who you are. So I think there's just a lot in this, that, you know, one of these things that you could talk about for a long time and almost study. So I really got a lot. Like, I was kind of taken by this one. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you. And Cal, how about you?
I think it's a very personal note of self. It's reflection. It's empowering. Absolutely beautiful rhythm and flow. And, you know, like Pam said, there's a strong hint of depression in it as well. So it's a dark, bit of a dark piece. But it's also, you know, I also think there's a sense, not necessarily written, but there's a sense in this of hope and positivity. Because I wish I didn't know this girl as they begin to dim the light. And like a stranger to this life, I kiss the dark goodnight. It's just really a fantastic piece. And, you know, you can go through it and go through it and go through it and find something else to enjoy or to speculate about. So it's very well done.
Thank you very much, Casey. And I'm a Casey, Cal. I'm walking on the same thoughts of both you and Dan, because you hit on a lot of what I was thinking of. This holds a lot. I don't think it necessarily walks on the depression angle because of that one middle stanza. It's hard to miss the passion, a storm of love, and yet I can also see her sadness like a well of deep regret. So the age walks into this, not recognizing yourself because of the lines at the corners of your eyes, around the mouth. You understand the age, but there is that notation with that in that age because she's going to bed alone. That's what she hits on with the last thought. The loneliness there, the sadness, the fact that she might have passed up on something, and looking back from where she is now with the age set in, sets on that thought of a bit of regret. And I agree with you on that last line, Cal. I think she comes to terms with that, and then there's an understanding. And like a stranger to this life, I kiss the dark goodnight. Is that offering of waking up to a better thought of oneself in the morning and then taking a better, more reflective look in that mirror and see what then arises? Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. And we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okay, Ms. Mindy, I have you up next.
Okay. All right. This piece is entitled Moonlit Resonance of Monday's Meld. Autumnal fusions sink to October strolls. Cashmere twilight encounters durably clung to denim ply of shadows stride. A symmetry entwined. Silhouettes pair to merge and pause, clench on cobbled promenade. Fever-glazed lips dip panted plunges, juicing press of ripe fullness. Wine headiness plumbed of a desire-spiced menu, sipped. Steps forward complement our solid footing. Neath shifting lapis skies, maple limbs vining a naked arc, arboring September skews. View suspending a bruised stuffed moon. Oh, I'm sorry, a brulee stuffed moon that two spoon. Gild spills tumble us as leaves on shafts of dulce caramel hue. Tri-gold plate, twist to entangle on wind-wound passionate. I can't even talk.
visions melding into amber washes of all nighttime yield. Arterial streamers, steam flow of lofting rush to robot column. Sugar explosions within the ventricle bacchanal. Season's thrum nestles into a plush pillow of wetted percussion. Dappled, whispered papillary twixt palms cups and thumb traces kissing tango rhythms into fall tableaus and poems.
Nice. Great read, Mindy. Nice. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you? What'd you think?
Really, really beautiful. I mean, just amazing kind of imagery and description. I'm assuming that this is a take on the picture, which I absolutely love. This is an amazing picture. And I'm going to have to read this multiple times because I absolutely love the descriptions, but I'm going to kind of just talk on the first one. Autumnal fusion sink to October strolls, cashmere twilight, counters durably clung to denim's ply of shadow strides, a symmetry entwined. I just love the imagery. I'm entranced by it kind of on this, looking at this and looking at the painting. So I honestly can't get into meanings on it yet because I'm so into the imagery. So I just very, very, very beautiful. And again, I'm being humbled all night tonight by just amazing works that I wish I could write like. So I love your imagery, Mindy. It was beautiful. And I'm going to have to read this more and get into it.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dan. Pam, how about you?
Well, I think I would like Mondays a lot better if they included a desire spiced menu sipped. I think every Monday should have that. I just love your use of language and imagery, and how you bring in the different senses, like the enjoying the food, the wine, the touch of each other's palms, the music of the rain. I really like the imagery of maple limbs vining and naked arch arboring September skews, view suspending a brulee stuffed moon. I really like that imagery of a brulee stuffed moon. You just captured the beauty and appreciation for nature, for love, and for life, and just, enjoying the simple things in life. And excellent light and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. Cal, how about you?
I do believe it is all about the images. It's just so beautifully written, and it goes so well with that picture. Absolutely amazing picture. Silhouettes paired to merge and pause, clench on cobbled promenade, fever glazed lips dip, painted plunges, juicing press of ripe fullness, wine headiness plumbed of a dyer's desires. Filled spice menu. See, I can't read it either. Sip. Oh, goodness gracious. It's got a beautiful, beautiful rhythm. It's got an awesome flow. It just draws you in with all the beautiful, sublime images that comes from that, just from that beautiful picture. Amazing work, Mindy. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Cal.
Thanks, Cal. Thank you. Oh, Phil, come fill my eyes with a comment on this.
Always something with him. Mindy, I thought that, as before, I thought it was an excellent write. But such gorgeous imagery and a fabulous reflection of the prompt as well. You've captured the couple. You've captured the background of the image. It just was fabulous all the way through, but you're good at that. You're very good at
thank
that.
You.
Thank you very much.
Mindy, you're awful sneaky. on the whole, you painted that picture perfectly. The thought, the words you've used they dapple the imagery well, but it walks a whole lot deeper. You hit on Cashmere Twilight and Denon's Cry of Shadow Strife. That kind of hits on the note, the softness of woman and the rough hands of man. And then you drop into glazed lips, dip, panted plunges, juicing press of ripe fullness. Then you hit on maple limbs, binding a naked arch, so that there's more interplay. This got such a lovely tone of subtle sensuality in this. And then you finish this out with dappled whiskers palpated, twixt palms cupped, and thumb traces kissing tango rhythms onto fall tableaus. This could easily have come as a tableau of a colorful evening from the bedroom.
Or it walked us there, one or the other, you know. Walked you there. There you go.
All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay. I'm bouncing all over the place. We're going to put this piece up by Gerald Green, and I have a sample for that. So, let's just find it. Here we go.
Metaphor, written in red by Gerald Green. The metaphor forms a gilded frame, holding a picture of a picture, as if an artist becomes greater than the author, or the sculptor over the weaver, who gives the eye higher standing than the heart. The metaphor sounds like an excuse attached to the end of truth, serving no purpose other than to fortify minds of weak readers, a double dose of medicine. The metaphor acts like a crutch for authors who cannot otherwise construct to capture, who write with child's hand as if distant readers cannot think. The metaphor tempts the poet, replacing deep thoughts with simple landscapes, emotion with scenes of action, truth with well-worn cliches. End poem.
Great read, Gerald. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. And Mindy, let's start with you.
Well, I love this, and I busted out laughing when I read it because he's so serious in his delivery of lines, but the entire piece is one giant metaphor. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. He contradicts himself, and he even admits further down below here that he is poking fun and waiting to see what turns up. He's only a really well-crafted poet and someone who understands the art so well can be able to play with it and deliver something magical like this. Fantastic work.
I thought, because you look at the picture, it's raining cats and dogs. I mean, a bigger, a well-worn cliche can you point to than that?
Yep.
Dan, how about you? What did you think? Dan, are you mutating? Uh-oh.
He dropped.
Okay. Pam, you're up.
Yeah, I did enjoy the humor in this one. And, you know, as he says, he confesses to stirring the pot. So definitely some great devilish humor with a wonderful serious delivery, making it all the better, as Mindy mentioned. I think, though, that I could take this definitely on a serious note, and the idea that, in my own personal beliefs, any poetic device can be overused or used wrong. And metaphors, while they are absolutely wonderful, can definitely be used to the point of becoming that cliche or getting the message in the poem missed. But yeah, this was just an excellent write. I felt like it was different than his usual style, at least from what I've seen. And so I like that he kind of stepped out of that box and, you know, just showed us another side of himself. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Ken. And Cal, how about you?
Well, Mindy took my words. It's a metaphor. Absolutely. All the way through it, it's one big metaphor. And this is absolutely awesome. It's amusing. The metaphor acts like a crutch for authors who cannot otherwise construct to capture, who write with child's hand as if distant readers cannot think. It's amusing. It's very funny. It's well done and expressive, and I really, really loved it.
Thank you, Cal. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought it was a great piece also. I thought it was great work, clever and very well written. I very much enjoyed the levity in it. It was just, yeah, great job. And thank you, Gerald, very much. Nice work. Absolutely.
And we're coming back to you, too.
You're coming back to me, too?
Okay, well, actually, yeah, you're the last one to talk.
Well, that's not always true now.
Well, it kind of just worked out that way. I chimed in right behind Mindy.
I'm just Jesus. But I'm bringing it back to Cal. So whenever you're ready, Cal.
Okay. Hello, it's me, Cal Smiles. Yes, it's me again. Don't expect anyone else. Why not? You may ask me anything. I'll answer you the same way every time. I am unique. I am unusual and strange. So are you. That's a good thing. Do you agree? Oh, I've done some things that I am not proud of in the name of love, but it actually was only loneliness and lust. I've been places I never thought I'd go. Done things I never thought I could. I've survived when I shouldn't have. I bet you have too. That's perfectly okay. Isn't that right? I am set in my own ways of doing things. I've learned plenty of lessons, but I haven't always learned from my mistakes or didn't want to learn from them. Ignored instead. Maybe you have too, but that's you. What do you think? I have known intense pain, anxiety, and love, unbelievable, unbearable loss of that love, physical, emotional, and mental issues too. Imagine you do. That's fine. Isn't that true? Mostly from my own life experiences with my original thoughts, feelings, ways of dealing with assorted situations thrown throughout that made me stumble in my path. All that created who I am today. But that was me. It is me. That's fine with me, too. End poem.
Great read, Cal. Thank you very much. And Mindy, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I just got started here, but pretension and artifice, neither one, hold a place in these grounded lines of a genuine and authentic human being. And that's what I felt immediately in this write. It is. I accept who I am. I openly share that with you and invite you to do the same. I have had many experiences in my life, and some of them difficult, but in the name of love, but in actuality, there was only loneliness and lust. I've been in places I never thought I'd go, done things I never thought I could. I've survived when I shouldn't have. Now, that right there says something. It says a lot, as a matter of fact. Because not all of us make it through successfully. And that is a huge accomplishment. In this very, very open, honest, and genuine piece of poetry, you share yourself. And that beautifully done, too. Absolutely beautifully done. It's a brave share.
Oh, I agree with that one, especially that thought about I survived when I shouldn't have. Yeah, I've been there a few too many times, unfortunately. But you're right. The truth is, it's the perfect assessment of oneself somewhere in years that most people won't actually look at and honor up to, them, to their own thoughts, which is a shame, because once you do, then you can finally admit to the fact that you are who you are because of that which you have lived and done with and survived in the first place. Nicely done, Cal. And Jean, how about you?
Well, let me make sure I'm here. So I thought this was really well done. I thought that it was clever and well penned, wonderfully encouraging, and a great share. I think that what you pointed out and kind of gave people a nudge at the same time, and I think that that was wonderful. Great take on this prompt. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. That was just, you know, really, excuse me, a great prompt and a great great reflection of it. I know I say that all the time. I should come up with a new word. But really well done. And thanks for sharing. Excuse me.
And unfortunately, we're coming right back to you again, Jean.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Let me move forward here. Okay. Mindy, can I get you to read another one?
You bet. You bet.
Oh, you're so good to me.
Ooh.
But,
okay. Come on. It's not. There we go. Welcome back, Pam. All right, this one's by Julie Buck, and it's entitled Heaven is Closed Today. Heaven is closed today. Some verbal bullets are not only meant to hurt, but to replay. And God, I need some joy and a day without tears. Sometimes we gnaw for years on the wrong pain, demanding what we don't really need. And no more do we help with each other's falls and hard landings, but cause them. Your heart is closed today, and because of this, I know now is when I most need to stay. End poem.
Great read, Mindy. Thank you very much. And Kel, why don't we start with you?
Oh, this is amazing. I say that all the time, but it's true. Some verbal bullets are not only meant to hurt, but to replay. And God, I need some joy and a day without tears. And then demanding what we don't really need. Oh, Lord, how many times have I done that? You know, just because you think you need something and you want it, but you don't really need it. You just want it. Why can't I have this or why can't I have that? You know, because you don't really need it, you know. And no more do we help with each other's falls and hard landings, but cause them. This is just absolutely amazing writing, and it's got a lot of it's got a big message to it, and I really appreciate that. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is beautiful and powerful. I like how she has the first line, heaven is closed today, and then punctuates it with a period, as if it let that thought stand all on its own. I really like some verbal bullets are not only meant to hurt, but to replay. The idea that, you know, somebody can say something once and you'll replay it over and over again in your head, or the idea of verbal abuse that never lets up. And then, you know, the whole right is wonderful, but also in the end where it says, your heart is closed today because as I know now is when I most need to stay. The idea that, you know, wanting to be there for somebody when they close their heart off is just an intriguing thought to me, because it's the idea of sacrificing your own comfort
because you feel like that you need to get through to the person. I think it's a wonderful, thought-provoking write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I thought this was a wonderful work. Well-expressed thoughts, and I thought that the emotions in it were well conveyed. So nicely done, Julie, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. And Mindy, you got to read that. How about you?
Ouch. The words here sting with the residue of intention hurt. Those verbal bullets seeking pounds of flesh. Spoken cannot be taken back, and all the I'm sorries in the world will not wipe the smear from heart. Time alone heals those wounds, but they never completely fade. And it's true. So she knows that she needs to stay past that point where he's open and receptive enough to hear what else she has to say, because in that moment that the pain is too much and his heart is closed. He's not receptive. She has to wait past that point in order for him to open enough to allow her in again. And it's a painful piece, and I think really identifiable for a lot of people. It will be beautifully penned.
Absolutely. I thought the, because she's got two words that are capitalized for this that really make a point: heaven and heart, the comparison therein, which kind of holds up the notion, because she hits on those, and God, I need some joy in a day without tears. Verbal bullets. They can be those that she slung or those that were slung at her, because she's next one down. Sometimes we gnaw for years on the wrong pain, demanding what we don't really need. There is that notion that because of that supposed inflicted pain, we demand more than what is owed, so to speak, and we keep a thumb screw to that which is delivered. But I did like the bottom end of this. Your heart is closed today, and because of this, I know now is when I most need to stay. And that's a double thought there. You could walk this as an empathetic note to attending a friend or a lover, or you could open this up as the heaven and heart issue and endearing this to yourself, the reality of those words and how they cut. And maybe those words were part of my own fault to begin with, but also understanding in the moment, you can't abandon the heart either. So there's a little bit of heaven in that notation. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Okay. Jokes. Pam, can I get you to read the next one for me?
Absolutely.
You're so good to me.
Always. I'm keeping a tab of everything you owe me. All right. This is Creation of Galaxies, and it goes like this. The breath catches itself between a history of beauty and wonder, swinging like a joyful child upon the creation of galaxies, the glow of light from the furnace projected 68 million light years, a dance through corridors of time and space, a coronation of a jeweled queen, glittering gems embraced in a cotton candy swirl, shimmering constellations, a harpsichord of ancient magic, the music of angels responding to the light of stars. Discovery of unlimited possibilities is the reward of an ever-seeking mind, where science and art become one and glorify the heavens. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, why don't we start with you, please?
A dance through the corridors of time and space. A coronation of a jeweled queen. Wow. That is absolutely beautiful. It's magical wording. And I've looked at this contest myself, and I haven't come up with anything yet. And this is beautiful, Pam. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Cal.
Wow.
Thank you, Kel. Mindy?
Well, I'll tell you what. My first words were, oh, my. My face in the dim light of a planetarium, chin on my chest, because I was thinking, oh, my word, this is beautiful. This is really beautiful. There's a bit of awe in this piece, that breath-catching between history and beauty and wonder. The way she's got it phrased there, it's an equal spacing, implying each one, and absolutely so, gives honor to each one of those things in equal measure. History, beauty, and wonder. And all of that is captured here, along with the movement and emotion of those things being captured. She gets playful in that second stanza with swinging like a joyful child upon the creation of galaxies. And that's that wonderment kicking in. And the pure enjoyment of being able to step back and truly appreciate without analyzing, without diagramming, without splitting phrases, without worrying about the accuracy of language we're using, we can stand with our mouth hanging open, eyes wide, and just truly appreciate what we're looking at. And that glow of light from the furnace projected 68 million light years. And those trips to the planetarium, really, this piece just kind of reminds me of that, you know, as a kid, being able to go there and see that. It was an incredible treat then, and I feel it recaptured here. And that dance through corridors of time and space, and that coronation of a jeweled queen, glittering gems embraced in cotton candy swirl and shimmering constellations. There's wonderment and magic all through this, right? But if you take it on a different note, it also has a very lightly sensual tone through it. There's a wonderful uniqueness in forming and coming into being of a relationship and a culmination of spirits here. And I think that part also kind of shines through. Lovely work, Pam.
Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you, Mindy. And Jean?
This is a pretty incredible, right? I have to agree with Mindy in a lot of ways. You know, you've hit this from so many angles. She picked the stanza swinging like a joyful child upon the creation of the galaxy, which I think is a wonderful trio of lines. You know, and then down here, I dance through corridors of time and space, a coronation of a jeweled queen, glittering gems embraced in a cotton candy swirl, shimmering constellation. You've captured something kind of a childlike quality, an innocence, let's say. And you've touched on the galaxy itself, which is huge, you know, huge we can't imagine all of that. But, you know, and then you bring in a harpsichord of ancient magic, the music of angels responding to the light of stars. I mean, it just, the whole thing is really incredible. But these last three lines, where science and art become one and glorify the heavens. Well, what more can you say, right? Like, you kind of wrapped it up really well in those couple lines. And, you know, what you've encapsulated into this poem was just incredible. So, excellent work. And thank you so much
thank
for bringing
you,
this
Jean.
To
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm going to go hokey. These are the voyages of Starship Pam, a five-year mission to discover the stars, new worlds, stand on the pillars of creation, to boldly go where no woman has gone before.
That's perfect.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that was definitely hokey.
It kind of fits the thought. Oh, hell.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. It was time for a good laugh.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you. Definitely a good laugh.
All right, Jean, we got at least time for one more.
Okay. Well, I have a bunch left. But I know how you and Mindy work, so I'm going to put mine up. Because I'm not going to make everybody happy, so I can only do what I can. And this is one that I actually wrote, Don't Everybody Fall Down Now. And I did it yesterday. And this is called Gilded, and it was based on the image from Mindy's concert.
Damn, it's only 3 hours old.
Yeah, fresh, well, right.
I did it yesterday and posted it today, so I had to let it age a little bit before I put it up. Okay, it's called Gilded, and it's morning rays drift through curtains like thoughts of you once drifted through my mind, slipping slowly from beneath the sheets. My feet shift softly to the floor. As I rise, a glimmer catches my eye from across the room. Sunlight dances along the mirror gifted to me so long ago. I realize then that the beauty of both mirror and memory will remain forever gilded. And follow.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Mindy, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, I was thrilled beyond belief and a little stunned. Gobsmacked, I believe is your word. When she posted this, I about fell off my chair. I've been waiting and bugging her to ink for a while. So I'm thrilled, and I'm hoping it's only the first of many to follow. But beyond that, she captured the image so beautifully in this. The title is perfect, Gilded. Wonderful, what a wonderful, clever title that is. And I love the resonant glow reflected in that ink captured of a mode of thought traced within that glimpse. It's that hair's breadth of catch within that moment. That glimmer catches my eye from across the room. Sunlight dances along the mirror. It's a realization and explosion of light play all at one time. And it's a pinnacle of thought and a real poignant moment that she captured beautifully in imagery and phrasing. And I think it's a lovely write, and I'm tickled to death that she decided to share it. Beautiful write, Jean.
Thank you.
Well said, Mindy. Thank you. And Cal, how about you?
Beautiful, Jean. I love this. Morning rays drift through curtains like thoughts of you once drifted through my mind. Oh, my goodness. It's eye-catching and glorious. Very beautifully done.
Thank you very much.
Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. It's good to see you writing, Jean. I like how this is about looking back at those memories, that realization of the beauty of both mirror and memory was a wonderful line. And I really like the alliteration and the beauty of slipping slowly from beneath the sheets. My feet shift softly to the floor. Such a simple and yet delicate and profound moment. Just beautiful and captivating and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
All right, Jean. The gilding here is done nicely because you didn't it's offered up with warmth and heartfelt thought, whereas sometimes with the passage of time, the gild can be tarnished. That is not here because you've got morning rays, you've got the glimmer, the sunlight dances along the mirror. You still got there's no tarnish on this. The memory still holds itself as a warm notation that will not be forgotten. And we're back to you to close.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. What a great show tonight, and I wish we had more time because we have more poets. We have for you to carry over again to next Friday. Anyone who I did not get to, I apologize. But, you know, sometimes it just beats that way. And just forgive me, and we'll keep it moving forward. And thank you guys for calling in and joining us. Pam, thank you much. Cal, you too, very much. Dan, appreciate it. Mindy and Rex, thank you so much for helping me man the fort, and I appreciate it very much. You know, Fridays are always fun. I don't know where I'd be without you two sometimes, I swear to God. But, you know, love having you around. And, yeah, we can do this again next Friday, I hope, and have some loose ends, and maybe have some more to share, and yeah, it's all good. So I appreciate everybody, and have a wonderful weekend. Have a safe week. Well, I'll see you, I don't know, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So I'll be around. But everybody else, you know, just have a good one and enjoy. Have some fun. Smile. Life's too short to be sour. What I got to say. Okay. Good night, guys. Thank you so much.
Sweet dreams.
Good night, everybody.
Love you.
Good night. Much love, everybody.